Good afternoon. Welcome to the Healthy Aging Show. I'm Dennis Patuas. You know, Walter, every time you're on, she's not.
No, I don't know Tracy Taylor from the proverbial hole.
Well, that's the point. She must know you're coming.
No, if she knew I were coming, she'd be here.
Well, okay, so Tracy is not here, but we are joined by Walter Robinson of BlackRock Insurance Services in BlackRock, Connecticut, and Kataline Gonis of MedBills Assist, and you're in Stamford, Connecticut.
Yeah.
Before I go too far, I have to give credit where credit's due. Comfort Keepers is sponsoring this show. We provide non-medical home care and enable people to stay safe and independent in their own home nationwide and locally. You can reach us at 203-629-5029. We've had Kataline and what's your name? Walter. On before.
Phyllis.
We are talking today about Medicare Advantage plans, which I'm not even going to try to describe to you. I'll let them do it because they're the expert. But this is all part of the open enrollment period, the annual enrollment period, and the open enrollment period. The annual enrollment period is until the end of December 2008, and you have the ability to go from program to program, plan to plan at your desire until January 1st. And then you have 3 months to the end of March to make one final selection, if you so choose, to lock in your plan. And I think that from what we discussed earlier, Kataline, this is very individual process as well in terms of the type of plan that someone would opt for. And there are certain benefits, and there's pitfalls. That's what kind of
refer to those trade-offs.
Trade-offs,
yes.
Rather than pitfalls?
Yes.
Oh, is that like donut holes versus gap?
Maybe.
Yes, I think so.
Fine, call it whatever you like. Describe the differences and the trade-off.
Okay. The traditional strategy that has been around for a long time up until the passage of the prescription drug plan was you retire covered by Medicare A and B, purchase a supplement, and at the time there were 10 of those, standardized throughout the industry period. Now along comes the government through the Center for Medicare and Medicaid Services, affectionately known as CMS, and they introduced a standalone prescription drug plan. Now, the commercial insurance industry has beefed up and spiffed up an alternative strategy, which is generically known as a Medicare Advantage plan. And what I refer to the four-legged stool, vis-a-vis A, B, supplement, and Part D, all of those coverages are wrapped into one plan from one company, and it's referred to as a Medicare Advantage plan. And it's really critically important for the consumer and your listeners to understand that when they consider an MA, Medicare Advantage Plan, they never, ever, ever leave the Medicare system. What they've basically done is they've authorized Medicare, altered the risk, and shifted it from Medicare to the ABC insurance company to pay the hospital, the doctor bills, prescription drug bills, etc.
ABC being the private insurance company.
An example of right. But they haven't left the system vulnerable. So now they select from a variety of offerings from the commercial insurance company for a Medicare Advantage plan, pay a premium to the insurance company or not, and for every member that chooses one of these, then the government, through the CMS agency, pays that commercial insurance company a dollar amount per month per member for the value of A, called an actuarial equivalency, and the Part B premium that's deducted from the Social Security check every month is also turned over to the insurance company. And then you can purchase a plan with or without a premium, and those two or three premium payments to the insurance company comprises the monthly slash annual cost being paid.
Okay. The eligibility, we have a monthly meeting of providers and senior services locally, and one of the topics that came up was the unknown trade-off or pitfall of an insured that could opt for the wrong plan and thereby deny themselves considerable benefits or lose benefits. Perhaps, are we talking about the retiree plans as well for not just the drug benefits that we talked about in the previous segment, but now we're talking about health benefits?
See, the Medicare Advantage plans come in two varieties. They can be standalone Medicare Advantage plan, meaning only covers medical insurance and certain medical benefits, and they come with a drug plan attached. The same rules apply. If somebody has an employee retirement benefit with a good drug cover, they could end up losing their own coverage, and often enough, these companies will terminate them for good.
Let's back up. If they have a retiree plan with a drug supplement or drug attachment, those are typically better quality plans than the plans provided by the Medicare Advantage or Part D?
It's a different coverage because these are supplemental after Medicare. So Medicare pays their own 80% of their own fee schedule, and these supplemental plans often pay 20% of what Medicare left off, plus providing providing prescription drug plans.
Can we back up to how A, B, and this is C work? A is?
Medicare Part A is a hospital insurance.
Okay.
It covers inpatient care, hospitals, nursing homes, inpatient, facility care. Part B covers doctors, hospital outpatients, durable medical equipment.
Okay.
That type of outpatient services. Part C is the Medicare Advantage plan, what we going back to discuss in detail. Part D is the prescription plan. Most people, by working 10 years, earned Medicare Part A, and it's called an entitlement. Medicare Part B is, for this year and next year, is $96.40. Could be higher in a higher income limit.
That's something that's being discussed in Congress coming up for the new year, isn't it, that they're going to potentially charge higher premiums to higher income individuals?
They're already doing that.
Oh, they are. I thought that there was more changes that were being possibly implemented beyond what's being done now.
Yes, there is Congress working on additional changes, but they are already charging Medicare beneficiaries higher fees with higher income.
To go up to $260 a month, subject to the reportable income of the retiree.
Well, now, here's a question for you. If someone did not work the mandatory 40 quarters, but they want the coverage, they can buy the coverage, can't they?
Yes.
You can buy into and pay a premium.
It's like $400 and something a month?
For Part A, yes.
Is there any advantage to economically doing that versus buying a private plan?
Well,
I guess as you're getting older, it must
actually
be.
Actually,
it's almost impossible to buy a conventional health insurance plan when you're over age 65 in our country.
So you would be forced, if you wanted coverage, to take the privately paid Medicare Part A coverage.
Correct. I'd like to take back to the conversation we had about the retiree who has, quote, credible coverage from his or her employer.
Well, we didn't talk about it in this segment. Let's define credible for this segment. Credible is where you get a letter from your employer's retirement plan, either from the employer or through their insurance company, that designates that the plan is credible for coverage or it meets
being
the criteria.
Good. Being as good as or better than the Medicare prescription plan.
Right. Okay. Right. Okay. So that's what credible means. It's communicated to you in writing through a letter from your employer.
Correct. But I thought a moment ago you talked about, you know, the potential for someone jeopardizing their coverage by purchasing a Medicare Advantage plan. And I just wanted to elaborate on the consideration that there has to be a conversation between the insurance party, agent, broker, and the member slash consumer slash retiree to be certain that a group plan, which acts as a supplement over A and B, more often than not, that will be better coverage than a Medicare Advantage plan. And even if it's equal, more often than not, the prescription drug benefit available from the group will be
better.
Superior to that which is available on the standalone PDP or the Medicare Advantage plan. And that's what has to be analyzed for the benefit of the consumer so they don't end up shooting themselves in the foot.
Now, how many plans, Advantage plans, now we're talking from Connecticut. Do you know how many Advantage plans are offered in Connecticut for the upcoming year, 2009?
21 in Fairfield County, not Connecticut, just Fairfield County.
Just Fairfield County. So it varies by county?
Yes.
Yes.
Okay, and so that vary by county nationwide?
Yes.
Is that
yes.
How they do this? And how do the premiums range in the 21 Connecticut or Fairfield County programs? Is it big
zero
difference?
Zero.
Yes, you can have a premium for zero.
And you get something for zero?
Yes, you get a Medicare Advantage plan with medical benefits and the prescription drug benefit. And then the high side, you can go up to over $200 a month for the plan. And the difference is, without talking in technical terms, an HMO, which is a health maintenance organization plan, requires all of your care to come from a contracted provider, a hospital, a doctor, a lab, whomever, who is contracted by that insurance company so that individual has agreed to perform those services at a discounted fee.
Those are all negotiated contracts.
They're all pre-negotiated fees. And then the insurance company pays the provider X and the member pays provider Y and the deal is done. Now, that's really good for people whose providers are in that particular network and who don't particularly do a lot of traveling. Because if you're traveling and you're out of the network, you're in Florida, Arizona, California, South Carolina, etc., and you're covered by any HMO under or over age 65, by the way, the only coverage you can have is coverage that is triggered by an emergency. By law, that they have to cover that. But if you get bronchitis and you're out of the network and you receive care, it's going to be your payment.
So you're basically self-insuring yourself.
Totally. Absolutely. Now, those plans generally generally have a lower premium than a plan that allows you to have benefits from inside the network, a la an HMO, and outside the network. And that's commonly referred to as a point of service plan, or POS.
So if you are, we used the term snowbirds before.
Correct.
If you're a Connecticut resident and you travel to Florida in the wintertime and you have an HMO up here, then you are out of luck when you go to Florida unless it's an emergency.
Yes, you might want to consider not having an HMO and replacing it with a point of service.
Just a little exception into that point. A point of service or even a PPO plan, which is a preferred provider network. When a person goes out of network, usually the payment is calculated by the fee schedule, the usual and customary fee, and the patient ends up paying 20 to 30% on average of out-of-network fees. But when it all comes down to it, this actual payment is usually about 50, 60% of the amount charged. So I would like to warn everybody that going out-of-network is much more costly than somebody might think just by looking at the plan.
It's always more costly to get your care out of the network because the insurance company does not have the option to have any cost control on the fee schedule because they're discount. But at the end of the day, do you want to pay 100% of that bill or 50, 60, 70% of the bill? Bingo.
Well, that's an interesting dilemma and obviously one that many people are probably unknowingly subjecting themselves to. As you said, if you travel outside the United States, that's a completely different ballgame, I would assume.
Correct.
But let's say, you know, in the United States, you've got to be careful. And is there some line that you would draw in terms of percentages of travel, or is it really just the risk of going someplace and then falling ill and not having coverage? It's not something where if you only travel 10% of the time, you have a higher likelihood of not needing the care, obviously, outside the area. My luck, it would be that's the 10% that I would end up having to pay out of pocket.
I would say that people who normally travel several times a year, they should be staying in the traditional Medicare plan. People who travel occasionally visiting family in holidays, it's probably you can easily take a chance unless this person has a chronic condition what needs constant care.
Now, you use the term traditional Medicare plan, and that's as distinguished from the Advantage plan?
Right.
Yeah.
And the Advantage plan, these are the managed care plans that Walter and Catalin are referring to where they have negotiated rates for reimbursement with the providers, and if they're in the system, then obviously the insurance company has greater control over what they're spending. Straight Medicare plans allow you to obtain services anywhere. Those are the point of service, the tradition.
A Medicare beneficiary can receive services with traditional Medicare, but there are different classifications between doctors. You have your Medicare participating doctors, the Medicare non-participating doctors, and there is another large group who had opted out from the Medicare program. If a person goes to one of these doctors, the first thing is going to happen that they will have to sign a letter that they are responsible for the full payment because the doctor will not submit and not allowed to submit claims to Medicare.
Doesn't that lead us to another question about where do you find doctors who participate in Medicare plans? There's been so much written recently about the limited availability of Medicare doctors.
There's still over 90% of the physicians in America accept Medicare.
Because we're reading stories about doctors opting out or limiting their patients to non-Medicare patients. I had a doctor several years ago that opted out of all insurances, including Medicare, and he went into, for want of a better term, a boutique practice. Now, that started, I think, in Chicago, where they charged several thousand dollars a year for basically a retainer.
Yes.
He doesn't charge that much, but he doesn't participate in any insurance programs, including Medicare.
That doesn't mean you pay and don't get reimbursed. You pay the fee to the boutique physician and then not get reimbursed. You can still get reimbursed from your commercial insurance company as long as that physician is willing to give you an invoice for that treatment.
Okay,
paid.
So he just doesn't do the paperwork.
No.
Unless you have an HMO.
Or unless you hire Caitlin.
Well, that's, you know, there's so much involved in the insurance. It's so intimidating. You know, one of the things that Caitlin and I talked about not long ago is the denial that so many insurance companies utilize when processing claims. In some cases, I would imagine that it's almost a standard procedure that many of the applications for payment or claims are denied. And a lot of times the person eventually just goes away out of frustration. Is that a mischaracterization?
No, a lot of people look at insurance and saying, oh, they just evil. Actually, insurance companies aren't evil. Most of the time when you call your insurance company and you are not extremely frustrated and don't let your frustration out completely, they are more than willing to help you to solve your problem. Denials and claims processing is a whole separate issue. Claims go into mostly an electronic system and get sorted out by the computer. The majority of the claims never see a person. A person never actually look at it. It goes from the doctor's office or from the hospital electronically, and at the end of the insurance company, it generates a bill. It might be a bill, might be a rejection, might be a payment, could be a lot of things. Denials really need to be looked at and decided why the insurance company denied, and then sorted out and decide how you can argue and convince the insurance company to make payment. But there is another area I think is very interesting when the insurance company underpays claims. And this is often comes from the out-of-network area where the fee schedule, what they allow, is significantly less than what the doctor charges. And that is a significant area when people look at it and say, well, I just better pay that $100 and make it go away than fight with the insurance company because it's too aggravating.
And most times when you sign paperwork at the doctor's office, you agree to cover that gap, do you not?
Well, it's again going back of being in or out of network.
In or out of network, okay.
Because when a person uses an in-network provider, they are only liable for their copay. Even if the doctor or a hospital never, ever gets paid, they're still only liable for their own copay.
Okay. Before we leave the subject, let's talk about where people get information to make an educated decision on whether they're going to go with an Advantage program or not. Now, we've talked about whether they travel or not as being one of the determining factors. Are there other things that they need to take into consideration, and where would they go to
Absolutely.
Get this information?
You mean besides calling me?
Besides calling me.
Okay.
I mean, the whole world's going to call you, Walter.
They would go to the Medicare.gov site, bring a cup of coffee, because it's not something you can easily navigate through, but you can locate the state you reside in, New York, Connecticut, and follow the prompts, and then it will tell you which plans are available in your geographic location, and they even provide you with a contact phone number so you can call the respective insurance company and have them send you material, etc. So that's a way. Now, there's a bit of a mystery there, because as much as the CMS suggests and recommends the retiree access the internet, my experience is you're lucky if one out of four people over the age of 65 know where the on button is, let alone have enough savvy to go there. So they have to bring in one of their adult children who can navigate through that. But it's a wonderful resource. It's a good place to start.
Now, if you don't have access to the internet or someone that can do it for you, is that also something you can go to your senior center and get some guidance on? And
yes.
Obviously, you can call Walter, and he's more than happy to help you. And Walter, may I give your phone number, Walter, so that...
Let
me do that. Walter Robinson at BlackRock Insurance Services in BlackRock, Connecticut. And you can reach him at 203-368-4606. And Catalin, I assume that you wouldn't mind your phone number being given out. Catalin Gomez is with MedBills Assist, and she's at 203-569-7610. It's because there are so many different variations. And earlier, Catalin, you said that people have to judge their own situation in terms of their medical needs. And this is one of the reasons that there is an open enrollment or an annual enrollment, so that people can change policies as their physical and medical conditions change.
I like to add that choosing over traditional Medicare or a Medicare Medicare Advantage plan is a very, very personal choice. Medicare was created as a sickness program, and they are moving along and they are doing preventive coverage such as mammograms, flu shots, PSA tests for men. But Medicare does not cover physicals. If a person is a healthy person and likes to have their physicals and their OBGYN visits once a year and requires very limited travel, you should consider a Medicare Advantage plan because it will give you substantially more on the preventive care.
There was an article in the New York Times, and I think that's what Catalin is referring to, that was discussing the fact that Advantage plans pay more to the providers, but there was an argument that not necessarily providing better care, but there were distinctions in the physical and preventive medicine side of it is probably one of the greater distinctive differences.
I think it's really dangerous to try to draw a line as to say universally one plan is better than another plan. For instance, Dennis, I could show you, quote unquote, the best Medicare Advantage plan known to mankind, at least in our part of the world. But if your physician are not members of that network, why would you even consider that? Because you're being forced to use the out-of-network benefit structure, which is going to generate a higher fee to you. I just think it needs to be taken up on a very individualized case-by-case basis.
We're all being inundated with advertisements for enrolling in Advantage plans, particularly obviously now because the open enrollments have started or will start, making the decision about what is the best avenue to take. You've painted a complicated picture, and seeking help is, there are a number of places to seek help. Medicare.gov, going to your senior center, the area agencies on aging in every state have resources available to you. And then individuals like Catalin and Walter are there to provide guidance to help make that decision as efficient as possible for you.
There is another level of protection for the consumer, and that is that an independent insurance agent or broker, by law, is required to take a course from the government, pass a test, and then take a course and pass a test from the respective insurance company. So there's a quote-unquote certification process that's involved, that's there to in fact protect the consumer. So if the listener has a long-standing relationship with a quality insurance agent, just make sure he or she is certified by the CMS department.
Okay, so if you have your homeowner's insurance or your automobile insurance with an agent,
right,
you can ask them as well about what choices you have and their credentials and qualifications to offer you guides. All right, well, I want to thank Walter and Catalin for joining us, and I hope that you've all found this to be informative, and just remember the dates, December 31st for the annual enrollment and March 31st for the open enrollment on the Medicare Advantage plans. And we'll be back talking to you again next week, and thank you for listening and have a good week.